So we're going to get right into the word this morning, and I'm excited today because we're going to be doing a series on prayer, and my wife and I are going to tag team that. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be preaching together, and we're going to be sharing together, so I'm excited about that. I really enjoy when we get a chance to do that together. I know that when I was gone in India, she preached a really good message, and so I was really excited to hear about that. A lot of people told me how that blessed them, and so I know that it'll bless you today as well. And so we're going to be doing a prayer series this summer. One of the reasons we're going to be doing that is, let me ask you this, and just give me a show of hands. How many of you have ever really been taught how to pray? Anybody had somebody teach you how to pray and then really go in with you and teach you how to pray? So not many people have been taught how to pray. And so that's one of the things that we really want to do over the summer, because I can tell you right now, your relationship with God will go to another level when you learn how to pray and relate to God in the right way. Would you say that's a true statement today? And many times, we don't take the time to go down to the ABCs. Now, I'm not talking about the one prayer that we come in your room at night and teach you how to pray, you know, our Father who art in heaven, or what's the one prayer that we, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That's a creepy prayer. If you've ever seen that, I love Tim Hawkins, the way he does that prayer. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but if you hadn't Googled that, it'll be a good laugh for you. But we're going to be doing that over the next few weeks, and it's going to be going through the summer just to help us grow in our relationship with God. And how many of you know one of the reasons that a lot of people don't really have a lot of faith in praying is because they don't see results to their prayers? You know what I mean? Honestly, that's a lot of time the reason people stop praying. If you prayed and most of the time when you prayed you got results, you'd keep praying. You would pray all the time. You'd be like, hey, there's something to this. Many times the reason that people stop praying when they start is because they don't see the results that they desire. And instead of continuing to pray, they stop praying. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. But what we're going to do today is I'll just go ahead and give you the topic. Today we're going to begin and we're going to talk about the prayer basics today. And we're just going to go down and we're going to break this down at the very roots of what prayer is. We're going to just answer 5 questions that we're so glad that you asked. You didn't even know you were asking those questions, but you've been asking those questions. So we're going to answer those 5 questions today, and that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we did, I love to kind of look at statistics and different things like that. So my wife and I are going to read some statistics, and these are from a Lifeway poll that was taken by LifewayResearch.com. And so among American Christians who pray, these are the things that people typically pray for, all right? So the first one, 82% of people that pray for their family or their friends. You go ahead and we'll just go back and forth through these.
All right, 74% of people pray for their own problems and difficulties.
That's all. So 74% of people pray for my own problems and difficulties. 54% pray for good things that have recently occurred.
42% pray for their own sin.
38% of people pray for people in natural disasters.
37% pray for God's greatness.
36% pray for their future prosperity.
20% of people pray for other faiths or of those who have no faith.
People of other faiths.
I'm sorry. Yeah. People of other faiths.
Then we have people that typically pray. 12% of people that typically pray for government leaders. And that's a crazy thing, because that's one of the commands in the Bible, where the Bible teaches us to pray for those who are in authority. And out of the people that pray, only 12% of people actually pray for that.
5% of people pray for celebrities or people in the public eye.
I think about that. Some people are praying for celebrities and people. You're probably praying for Tom Brady. Are you? Are you praying for Brady? No. And so 2% of people pray for none of these. It's all right to pray for Tom Brady. I don't think that's bad to pray for Tom Brady. He needs prayer just like everybody else does. So now we're going to look at some who are a little bit different. So among Americans who pray, here's a question. Have you ever prayed for? So we're going to give you some statistics on this. Have you ever prayed for? 41% of people, I think this is amazing, pray for people who mistreat them. How many of you right now, without raising your hand, have people in your life who are mistreating you? It may be a boss, it may be a spouse, it may be a child, it may be, you know, any type of person. So how many of us pray for people that mistreat you? Because you know the Bible tells us to do that. Mm-hmm.
37% pray for your enemies.
30% of people pray for their enemies. That's a high number of people that are literally obeying that scripture, and they're praying for their enemies. They're praying for people that are out to hurt them. This is a big one that I saw. 21% of people that pray to win the lottery. Listen, stop praying to win the lottery and do what the Word of God says, right? You know what I mean? It's so funny. I remember one time we had, in Jacksonville, we had a time where somebody they gave a dollar in the offering, and then they put in their lottery receipts with their offering. So they had given a dollar in the offering, and then they had bought like $10 worth of lottery tickets. And so if that's what you're doing, don't do that. Don't play the lottery and pray to win it big. Follow the scriptures and do what the Word of God says, right?
Right. 20% pray for success in something you put almost no effort in.
So that's crazy. People are praying. 20% of people that pray are praying for something that they put no effort in. So in other words, God, I didn't do anything. I didn't study for this test, but please let me pass it, right? Some of you guys are in school right now, and you know that prayer very well. I remember, I think I may have prayed that a couple of times in my life. So 15%, this one's not very funny. 15% pray for no one to find out about a bad thing that they've done. 15% of people that pray are actually praying today that somebody wouldn't find out about something bad they've done. Now, I want to encourage you, if you're in that 15%, let me just tell you this. The Bible says, he that conceals his sin is not going to prosper. And so if there's something going on in your life, don't waste your time praying that nobody's going to find that out. Take that to the Lord and repent of that and ask him to forgive you. And then God is going to make things work in your life. He's going to make things right in your life because you're not trying to hide something that you're not supposed to be hiding, right? Right here.
Okay. 14% pray for God to avenge someone who hurt them or hurt a loved one.
Mm-hmm. And then 13% pray for their favorite team to win a game. Now, I'm not going to say if I'm in that 13% or not, but I may or may not have prayed that prayer once or twice in my life. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, babe.
9% have prayed for bad things to happen to a bad person.
So that's probably not a good prayer that you want to be praying. 9% of people that pray are praying for that. Here's one that really got me, and I think you'll like this. 7% of people that pray to find a good parking spot. It probably would be better for all of us to drive to the back of the parking lot and park and walk ourselves to Walmart. Probably wouldn't be bad. It'd probably be good for our health.
7% pray for not getting caught speeding.
Nobody's laughing on that one because I think a lot of people are praying that prayer, babe. 5% pray for success in something you knew wouldn't please God.
5% pray for someone's relationship to end.
5%.
I just want to say something about that, too. You know, we were in a situation where something like that was happening, and we weren't in agreement with something. But you know what? We did not pray for that relationship to end. We prayed for God to bless them, to bring them closer to them, and let him do that. That's between them and God. That's not, whether we're in agreement or not, that's definitely not something that you want to pray. You want to pray for the people involved because maybe they may be hurting. And, you know, God showed me that for our end situation, we were the only people probably praying for one of the people in that situation. So you may be that one person that God is calling to pray for those people.
Mm-hmm. And so 5% pray for someone to get fired. If you're praying those prayers, please don't. Those are some dirty, hairy prayers. If you're praying those prayers, please don't pray. So the reason we share, at least those prayers, don't pray those prayers for me, those last two, okay? So the reason we share that and start out with that is because we want to kind of just think about the different things people pray for, and we want to just talk about this for a minute. And so I just want to share a time in my life real quick with you guys, because prayer is such an important part in our relationship with God. And if we're not growing in prayer, then I can tell you this, we're not growing in our relationship with God. Because prayer is how we communicate with God, and in essence, it's our relationship with God. And so if we're not learning how to pray, I remember years ago, I never had anybody really bring me in and teach me how to pray. And so what I did was years ago, my wife and I were getting ready to go to mission. We were getting ready to be missionaries in Italy. Driving into work, I was going to work really early in the morning. I was still morning for at the time. And I was driving into work with my brother-in-law who goes to the gym at like 4 o'clock in the morning. And we didn't have to be at work until like 7:30. So I had the office all to myself for like 2 hours before anybody got there. And what I started doing was is I had my favorite praise and worship music I would bring with me. And I would just put those on and I would worship God to about 4 or 5 songs in the morning and just worship God just like we do here in corporate worship. But it was just me and God. And then I would take time and I would read books by E.M. Bounds. I don't know if you've ever heard of E.M. Bounds, but he's a great writer on prayer. And he writes really simple. I need simple stuff in my life that gives me action steps so that I can learn how to do it. And so he basically writes books on prayer with only like 2 or 3 pages to a chapter. And so what I would do is every morning after I would worship God, I would read one of those short chapters of prayer on E.M. Bounds, and then I would put into practice that morning what I was learning. And what I realized was as I began to do that, my prayer life began to grow on a daily basis. My prayer life began to grow. It began to change my life. It began to change my relationship with my wife. It began to change my relationship with my friends. It began to change my relationship with my kids. And I started realizing, man, if I learn how to pray, the more I learn how to pray, the closer I get to God, and it affects every area of my life. And so I want to just encourage you today that no matter where you are in your prayer life, you may be thinking right now, man, I don't even pray. Or I pray maybe once a week, or I pray maybe twice a week, or you know, I pray every day, but it's only really quick when I get up in the morning, or I only pray in the car for a few minutes. The thing I want to encourage you today is no matter what your prayer life looks like now, listen, it can always get better. It can always improve. And so over the course of the next few weeks, that's what our goal is going to be as a church together, is that all of us are going to grow in our prayer life, because when a church grows in prayer, all kinds of things begin happening. When you grow in prayer, imagine what will happen as a husband, as a wife, as a kid in school. As your prayer life begins to grow, it will affect every relationship in your home. When we begin to grow in prayer as a church, it will affect everything that we do. It'll affect the presence of God in our lives. It'll affect the presence of God in our service. Imagine this, if we had a church full of people that have been praying all week, so that when we come to church, we're not looking for God to pour something out on us, but we're actually coming to church to pour something out on somebody else, because our relationship with God through prayer has been so strong this week that we need to share, we need to bless somebody, we need to do something. And that's what our vision is, that God wants to do in our church and in us together, and that's what we're going to be preaching for. And I just want to encourage you, right, it can, your prayer life is red hot, it can get better. If your prayer life is ice cold today, it can get better. And we believe over the next few weeks, as we begin to talk about this subject, and as we begin to teach about this subject, and as we actually begin to put things in practice, we're going to see our prayer lives grow at River of Life Church. Amen? So I want to just pray for a moment before we get into this message, and I want to just encourage you today. So, Father, I just thank you right now for your grace. I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for the power of prayer. And, Lord, over the next few minutes, Father, as we share scriptures and we share just the basics of prayer, I thank you, God, for encouraging each and every one of us to grow in our prayer life, Father. I pray that we wouldn't just hear information, but, Lord, that information would lead to transformation, Father, that we would receive something today that would change our prayer life with you, Father. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to start off, and the first question I want to answer this morning is, what is prayer? What is prayer? In its basic form and its most simple thing, it's communicating with God. In simple terms, prayer is a conversation with God, but it must be a dialogue. It can't just be a monologue. It can't just be me talking to God and then me getting up and leaving and pretending like God doesn't even want to answer, or that God is not going to answer if I wait to listen to him. We have so many examples in the Old Testament. God spoke to Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve spoke to God. God spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to God. God spoke to Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration in the New Testament, and Peter spoke back. And so today, you can see that there's a thing where literally as believers, we can hear the voice of God today. You can learn to discern the voice of God. Now, I don't mean that you're going to hear an audible voice when you pray. And when I get up in the morning and I pray, I don't hear God speaking to me and saying, James, I want to talk to you today. I don't hear God's voice like that. There's many times where I hear God's voice as I read the scriptures, as I read through the Word of God, and the Word of God begins to speak to me. Most of the time, that's how God speaks to me, and that's why it's so important for us as Christians that when we pray, we talk to God, and when we read the Word of God, we give God an opportunity to talk to us. A lot of times, God will talk through other people. Many times, we don't hear God's voice because we don't like the messenger that God is using to speak to us. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I've experienced that. And many times, God speaks to me through my wife. And I hate that, especially when she's right about something that I don't want her to be right about. And I know it. As soon as she says something, I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to me right now through my wife. And God, why couldn't you have chose somebody else? Why couldn't you have had somebody give me a phone call and tell me this? Sometimes God speaks through my kids. I've had God speak through my kids when they were that big and they had no idea. They come home from school and they say something to me and I've been praying and all of a sudden God speaks to me. Why? Because I'm listening to hear His voice. Now I want to encourage you today, when you pray, you've got to believe that God wants to communicate to you. Why would Jesus tell us to pray if He didn't want to talk to us? Why would He encourage us to do that? So in its essence, in its most boiled down form, prayer is conversing with God. It's me talking to God, and it's me hearing from God. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times prayer is bending our will to the will of the Father. It's not making God do what we want God to do. Many times people's prayers don't get answered because they don't pray the will of God. They pray their own will and they ask God to bless it. Listen, if you're praying your own will and you're asking God to bless your will, stop it. Because He's not going to answer that prayer. And you're going to be frustrated and you're going to say, God doesn't answer prayer. God doesn't listen to me. God doesn't do anything. And many times the reason God is not answering our prayers is because we're not praying God's will be done. We're praying our will be done and we're asking God to bless it. And God's not going to do that. There's nowhere in the scripture where it says He's going to do that. He says, pray that my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? Prayer is hard work, and that's a lot of times why we don't do it. Prayer is hard for the flesh and the mind. How many of you have ever sat down and said, you know what, this morning, you think about this at night, I'm getting up in the morning and I tell you what, I'm going to have a prayer life. I'm going to start praying and I'm going to have time with God and I'm going to make that time. And you start praying and the moment you begin to speak, your mind starts racing 1,000 miles an hour. You start thinking about what you've got to buy, where you're going to go. How many of you stop and make lists while you're praying? You know what I'm talking about? I've done that before because these thoughts won't leave me alone. And I'm like, well, maybe if I just write it down, then I won't be thinking about that anymore. And so what happens is our me. It doesn't want to feel the work of that. It doesn't want to get on its knees or it doesn't want to walk. It doesn't want to stop because it wants to do something else. And so if we're going to learn how to pray, I want to just share with you really quickly something my wife and I learned in Bible school. We took a class called Prevailing Prayer. And this was one of the times where God really broke through in my life. And one of our professors taught this way and she said, listen. She said, how many of you remember in the Old Testament, you had the outer court of the temple of God. You had the outer court, then you had the inner court, and then you had the holy place where you could act. Holy of Holies is where the Spirit of God dwelled. And it was that holy place where you could actually get in and you could experience the common God in the Old Testament. But what happened is certain people were allowed in the outer court, common people were allowed in the outer court, and then the priests were allowed in the inner court, and then only one time a year, the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies and actually could experience the presence of God, and that happened only once a year. And she said, this is what happens. To go through each of those, to go from the outer court to the inner court, you had to pass through a veil. And to go from the inner court to the Holy of Holies, you had to pass through another veil to get in there. And she said, this is what happens many times. Most Christians never get through the veil of the flesh. That's the outer court. They can't make themselves stop and take time to pray. That's why they don't pray. And then some people can actually discipline their flesh and they can pass through that veil of the flesh, and then they get into the holy place. They get into the inner court, and that's where they had to press through the veil of the mind in order to get into the Holy of Holies, in order to get into the Spirit. And most people never learn how to do that, so their prayer is all mental and it's not spiritual. And that's why they don't feel like they have a right connection with God, because in essence, when they're praying, they're just speaking words. They're not praying from their spirit. And I had never heard that before. I didn't realize that. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. She's right. And my wife and I begin to pray, and we begin to learn how to pray. And we begin to pray from a place of praying from our spirit and not just from our mind and not just from our flesh. Does that make sense this morning? And so we want to talk about that today. And if we want to get into the spirit, we've got to get past this veil of the mind. I want to tell you, this veil of the mind, and we've got to get into the secret place of the Holy of Holies. And I want to tell you, Jesus paid the price so that we could boldly, the Bible says, enter into the throne room of grace. As a believer, as a child of God, there's a place in the Spirit where you can absolutely enter in through prayer into the throne room of grace to receive what you have in time of need. The Bible teaches us that. That doesn't mean you're physically going to walk into the throne room of God right now while you're on the earth. What it means is spiritually through prayer, because of what Jesus did on the cross. How many of you remember the Bible says when Jesus said, "It is finished," the veil in the temple that separated that court from the Holy of Holies tore in two from top to bottom, signifying that there was a new and living way that we can enter into the presence of God. And so today, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you and I can learn how to pray, not just with our minds, but we can actually pray with our spirits, and we can enter into the presence of God. Doesn't that sound like a fun kind of prayer? That sounds like a kind of prayer that I want to be a part of, not just talking. And so I remember a huge bucket years ago, I had a vision one day, and I was praying. It was like I saw this huge bucket up in the sky, and it was like there were all kinds of blessings in this bucket, and there was a huge rope about this big around coming down from it. And I remember thinking, boy, if I could pull on that just hard enough, I could get some of these blessings to fall out. And it was all kinds of amazing things. And so I go up and I grab the rope, and I'm trying to pull it, and I can't get it moving because it's so big. And I realize I can't do this by myself. I can't get this thing to tip over. And if I could just pull it harder, I could get it to tip over. And all of a sudden I realized, wait, I've got friends. And so I went and started calling my friends. I was like, hey, guys, come and help me. Come and help me. And so all of a sudden I had guys coming around. And as we grabbed this rope together and we began to pull, all of a sudden this big bucket started going like this. And it would tip over on this side and blessings would come out. It would tip over on this side and blessings would come out. And God began to show me that many times we try to pray about something on our own and we don't see the results that we want to see. But as we come together as the body of Christ and we begin to pray together over certain things, God has all kinds of blessings that he wants to pour out in the earth today, but it's up to his children to begin to come together and begin to pray and bring those things down from heaven to earth. And God desires to give us those things, but we have to have a desire to see those things take place. Amen? And I just want to encourage you with that this morning. We may have to do this in a two-part message, I think, because this is not going as fast as I thought it was going to. So in prayer, after we speak, we've got to wait on God. We've got to wait on God. And I just want to encourage you that this morning, we must wait on the Lord and we must listen for his voice, because here's the deal. How many of you guys have conversations by yourself? Please tell me you don't answer yourself, right? You know what I'm talking about? It's impossible to have a conversation if you don't have two people. Because we've got to be able to talk, and for it to be a conversation, we've got to be able to listen to the other person. And then they've got to have a chance to talk. Nobody has a conversation by themselves. And as I was thinking about that, none of you guys have ever heard of this or never done this before, but we used to go coon hunting when I was a little boy growing up. And you do that at night, you do that in the dark or early in the morning when it's dark and you have coon dogs and you go out into the swamp and you turn the dogs loose and then the dogs go after the coon and they tree the coon, they run it up a tree and then they bark there. And they stay right there until you actually go and get them. They won't leave if they're really good dogs. And I can remember lots of times growing up there in that area, and we would be in a real swampy area. I mean, really bad swampy area it would be, and the dogs would be so far in the woods, what was called hardly hear them barking. And when it was like that, my dad would stay at the truck, and we did what was called hollering you out. And so what that means, we didn't have, and I'd start guesses. I didn't have a compass. I didn't have any of that stuff. I'd take a .22 rifle, a flashlight, and I'd start going towards the sound of the dogs. And when I got there, my dad would stay at the truck. And when I got there, you'd go and shine the light around, find the coon, shoot the coon out, get the coon. And then when it was time to go back, I have no idea because I'm in the pitch dark in the swamp. I've walked around this tree 5 or 6 times. And by that time, how many of you know, every tree in the woods looks the same at night. It's the same thing. And what I would do in order to get myself out is if I had people with me, sometimes there'd be people with me, sometimes I'd be alone. But if I had people with me, I would get everybody quiet and I'd say, listen, everybody be quiet. Don't say anything. And then I would yell as loud as I could, woo! Just like that. You yell like that. And I'd yell out loud like that and then I would listen. And then all of a sudden, I would hear my dad, woo! My dad would yell back. And then what would happen is because of that, I would know where to go. And I would begin to move toward the sound of his voice. Well, let me explain something to you. Sometimes we would go so far in that I would yell like that, and maybe I would be in a bottom, and I would yell, and I would not hear anything. It would be complete silence. And I'm way in the middle of this swamp by myself, you know, as a 12 or 13-year-old boy. Now, what do you think I did the first time that happened? Did I just sit down and say, well, I guess I can't hear my dad, so I'm just lost. I'm doomed. I might as well just sit down here in the middle of the swamp with the snakes and the gators and just, you know, just wait to die. I might as well just quit and sit down here. You know what I did? I would yell even louder. Hey! I'd start yelling, Dad! And there were several times where I remember I would walk and I would yell as loud as I could and I would listen. I didn't hear him. And I would just pick a direction and I would start walking in that direction. And then I would walk a few more feet, knew that he wasn't going to leave me in there. And I knew that he knew the land better than I did. And there were times where I actually walked in the wrong direction. Didn't even walk the way I was supposed to. I was going the opposite direction. But my dad knew the land so well, he would get in the truck and drive around to the other road. And all of a sudden, I would yell and I would hear him over here. And I would walk out to a different place than I went in to my dad. And I knew that he was listening for me. I knew without a shadow of a doubt that he was waiting to hear my voice. And when I called out to him, I had 100% faith that he was going to call back to me. Some of us need to understand that when you pray and you speak to God, God is speaking back to you. God is going to talk to you. If you can't hear God, don't quit and don't give up and sit down and cry. Just keep walking. Keep going towards God. What does the Bible say? He says, if you draw near to me, what does he say? I'll draw near to you. And so in the same way, you can be assured today that if you keep calling out to God, it may sound like he's a long way away. It may sound like you can't even hear his voice. But I promise you this, if you continue to call out and you have faith in him and you continue walking the way he's told you to walk and you just keep going and you keep crying out, you're going to hear the voice of God and you're going to know the thing that you need to do because God is faithful even when we're not faithful. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. And some of us just need to be encouraged to get back up and begin to call on him again. I want to encourage you today, if you've been discouraged because you're not able to hear God, if you've been discouraged because you've been praying and you've not seen the results that you're looking for, I'm telling you, God may just be moving to get in a better position so that when you call out, he's going to be able to bring you into the place where he's looking to bring you into. Amen? So don't give up today in Jesus' name.
So now we're going to move on to who do we pray to? And this is very important. We all need to make sure that we know who we pray to. So Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him, who is God, for all he has done. So right here in the scripture, we can see, tell God. So who is it telling us to pray to? God. We pray to God. You know, the Bible teaches us to pray to God the Father through our mediator, Jesus Christ. He is our mediator. He died on the cross. He rose again. And how many of you know the Bible says that he stands right next to the Father and he does mediation for us through our prayers. So the Bible doesn't teach us to pray to saints. We don't pray to saints. And I have a quick story in Padova. It's a little, I think we say Padova here. It's a little city right outside of the town we used to live in Italy. And most of the Catholic churches over there have pieces of saints, like pieces of their body. And so in this Catholic church, they had a piece of Michael's tongue. And people believe that if they would go there and pray to this tongue that's a part of the Saint Michael, that he was the patron saint of lost things. So they would go and pray if they've lost something, and then they would believe, praying through him, that that would be found. I want you to know that I don't know how many people found things, but I bet not very many of them did. And I'm just saying, because we just read that we pray to God. It says, tell God what you need. Tell God, not tell a saint. And I just want to be very clear about that. What is a mediator? I wanted to go ahead and talk about this really quick. So that interposes between parties at variance for the purpose of reconciling them. So that is what Jesus does for us. Between us and God, as we pray to God in Jesus' name. Why? Because Jesus is our mediator between what we pray, and it goes through him to God. Okay, so, and when I was thinking about that too, I really enjoyed looking that up, because then it was, began to talk about mediators in the legal system. And so I don't know if you know about that, but they mediate between the client and the legal staff and the judge. And so they make sure that everything is being spoken, it's clear, it's understood, there's nothing left out, and that everything is going to the judge or the legal person over here through the clients, and it's clear. There's no mistake. And so that's what Jesus does for us. So let's just try and visualize that as we're talking. When you begin to pray, so I'm a visual person, so when I pray sometimes, just like Pastor James was saying, going through the veils, I picture it. Because for me, when I picture things, it helps me move that way in my mind. It helps my spirit move that way. So if you need to begin to picture things, just begin to picture Jesus standing beside God. And as you pray, picture your words going through him directly to the ear of God. Sometimes that just helps me, because then I know, God, you are hearing my prayers. You know, the Bible doesn't teach us to pray to Mary. Many people spend hours praying to Mary, and she's never going to hear because she's not alive. You know, Mary was the mother of Jesus, and many people pray to her, but the Bible does not teach us to pray to Mary. It teaches us to pray to God. We just read, tell God your things, and he will hear them. You know, we pray again, back to Jesus, because Jesus is alive. We know he died on the cross. He was buried in the grave. He rose from the dead. He is alive. We pray to someone who is alive, and that's what him to God. Amen. Many false religions teach people to pray through false mediators. You know, the Bible is very clear that there is only one mediator, just like I said, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. If you try to go through a mediator that is not connected to God, you won't get any results in your prayers. Just like we were praying, even like I said, I don't know how many people really who lost something and prayed to him who really found it. I'm not sure, but I'm just saying I know that when I pray to God, I know my prayers have been answered. I have testimony after testimony of prayers in our life of things that we've prayed about that we've sought God for, and they've been answered. Amen. So I wanted to give you an example, too, because while we were talking about this, I was thinking about this. It's like you're applying for a job, say, at Ruby Tuesdays, okay? So I applied for a job at Ruby Tuesdays, and how many of you know, gosh, it's weird to apply for jobs nowadays? When we were trying to help our daughter get a job last year when we moved here, it was like you apply online, and then you have to actually then go in. It's like when I was growing up, you just went in and you applied and they hired you, or they didn't, or they called you back. So I applied for a job at Ruby Tuesdays online, okay? But then I haven't heard back anything, so I want to hear if they're hiring, if they're going to hire me. But instead of calling Ruby Tuesdays, I called Target. Now, how many of you know if I called Target and asked them if they know if Ruby Tuesdays is hiring and if I've got a job, they would have no clue what to tell me, right? Because they are not affiliated. They are not connected. They do not know what Ruby Tuesdays is doing, because Target is its own shop, its own thing. It's the same way with prayer. It's like me applying for a job at Ruby Tuesdays but asking Target if they're going to hire me to work at Ruby Tuesdays. You know, that's not going to work. And so that is why when we pray, we say, God, in Jesus' name. And then you say your prayer. Why? Because Jesus is our mediator. If I want a job at Ruby Tuesdays, how many of you know I have got to call Ruby Tuesdays? They will hire me, not Target. That makes sense? Okay. I'm glad. Made sense in my head. So for the phone call to work, though, if I'm going to call, it has to be a connection. It has to be, one, a good connection, and it has to be a connection between two people. If I call and nobody answers, I'll never know anything. So it has to work both ways, right? It's a relationship. And I talked about this a little bit when I preached a couple weeks ago. It has to be about a relationship. It's a relationship between me and God. It works both ways. And for real prayer to take place, there must be a connection made between God and man. So there has to be a connection between God and myself. How does that connection happen? Just coming in, God, thank you. God, I love you. Sometimes even the best way to start that connection is praise and worship. Put on some praise and worship music. You know how many sometimes we wake up and you ever call somebody and you get a bad connection and it's like you can't hear and you're like, I can't hear you and I don't know what to do. And so you hang up and then you have to call back because that connection's so bad you can't hear. There's no way of communicating with each other. Well, sometimes that happens, too. We feel that way sometimes. You know, you wake up early in the morning. You're not really feeling like praying because you're kind of tired. Maybe you didn't sleep well. Maybe this or that. Maybe you have this crazy day ahead of you and all your thoughts start racing on what you have to do. Or, like, if you're like me, I usually get up and I have, like, my routine, right? I go through the house. I open up all the blinds. I let the dog out. I feed the dog. You know, I have a connection with, so my mind is focused on that. But how about if we wake up and we begin to have that connection with God the first thing? Turn on some praise and worship. You know, if that means we have to wake up, you know, 30 minutes early, I'm going to tell you, you will not miss those 30 minutes of sleep. Your spirit will not miss it. In fact, I will guarantee you that your spirit will go to a new level. And you get up 30 minutes early and you begin to put on that praise and worship music and you begin to go alone and you begin to close your eyes and then you begin to go through those veils that Pastor James was talking about and we begin to praise the Lord. Oh Lord, I praise you. Oh, just like we were praising and worshiping the Lord this morning. Lord, take me where my feet have no bounds. Take me to the deepest places, God. And you begin to really focus and you really begin to sing out of your spirit these things to the Lord and he begins to take you through those veils and you begin to go into the Holy of Holies, and guess what? You're communicating with the Lord through praise and worship. You've started that connection. You've started a good connection, and it's a connection where you're communicating through the Lord in the morning, and guess what happens? Throughout the day, guess what? That song will be in your head. Those prayers will be in your head, and you'll begin to walk through the day praying and worshiping the Lord. Amen? I want to just encourage you to begin doing something. You know, one thing that we can change could be the smallest thing, but that could be the change in your prayer life growing. Amen?
Amen. So the answer is, why do we pray? Really quickly, I've got a couple of verses for you so you can look at Colossians 4:2. And the first reason, why do we pray? Because God commands us to pray. Colossians 4:2 says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So in other words, continuing earnestly in prayer. So be a person that prays about everything. Pray in earnest. Pray with an earnest heart. Pray about things that are going on. Being vigilant in prayer with thanksgiving. So vigilant means being wakeful, being watchful, thinking about what's going on. So many times we can go throughout our whole day as believers and not even think about God. We're asleep spiritually. And how many of you know that's happened to you before where you wake up and sometimes even you can pray in the morning and then you can go the whole rest of the day without thinking about God and being awake to spiritual things. And I just want to encourage you that spiritually speaking, there's so much going on around us that we don't see that if we're not walking in a spiritual way with God, we're going to be completely blind to what's going on. The world doesn't see those things. The world doesn't think about those things. But as believers, the scriptures teach us to pray earnestly and to be watchful, to be vigilant, and to do it with thanksgiving. The next thing prayer does is it allows us to resist temptation. Matthew 26:41 says this, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but listen. So Jesus was talking to the disciples here in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's telling them, listen, watch and pray or you're going to fall into temptation. So in other words, one of the things we can learn is that the more we pray, the less we're going to fall into temptation. How many of you know the closer you get to God and the more you're aware of the presence of God? Do you know how come most people, it does happen occasionally, but most of the time when we're in church, we don't sin? Do you know why that is? Because we're conscious of God. Because we're in God's house. We're in the presence of God. And so we're not going to be looking at something on our phone that we shouldn't be looking at. We're not going to be talking to somebody that we shouldn't talk to. We're not going to be doing anything like that while we're at God's house. Why? Because we're conscious of God. And the problem is that when we're not conscious of God, we begin to do things that we shouldn't do. One of the things prayer does is it keeps us conscious of God. It keeps us connected to God. And so when I'm connected to God and I'm thinking about God, it makes it a whole lot harder to do things that I'm not supposed to do. Does that make sense? And so one of the things I want to encourage you, it says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. How many of you guys have ever started out? I remember, I used to get up early, and I still do get up early, but I used to get up really early years ago. And my prayer life would go at different times. Sometimes I'd get up really early in the morning before I go to work. Sometimes I'd stay up late after everybody went to bed so I could spend a long time with God. But I can remember when I would get up really early and I'd be tired and I'd stumble out of the bed. It'd be like 4:30 in the morning, and I would start out in the living room and I'd just be worshiping God and praying to God. And then the next thing I will be thinking about is, you know what, I'm just going to get on my knees and worship God. Then I'd get on my knees, and the next thing I know, I'd be like, I'm just going to lay prostrate before the Lord, you know, and I'm going to stretch out here. And this is what I'm thinking in my mind, and I'd be laying out, you know, just worshiping God. Then the next thing I know, my wife and kids are getting up from school, and I'm laying, and I got carpet burn on my face, and I'm laying in a pool of drool. You know what I'm saying? If you've ever gotten up early and tried to pray, he says, pray that you don't enter into temptation. And I just want to encourage you in that this morning as we get ready to go. So, babe, why don't you come in and do this last one, and then we'll close up today.
Okay, so where do we pray? So I have 3 points under where do we pray. First, we pray in the secret place, and that's where nobody knows. And that's Matthew. So have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So Jesus says here, when you pray, so that tells me that he expects us to pray. When you say, when you get home, that's what I tell my kids, when we get home, go clean your room, right? What does that tell my kids? I'm expecting them to do something when we get home, okay? Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, when you pray, so that means we need to pray. And then Jesus teaches us to pray in secret so that God can reward us openly. We don't pray to be seen by others. Like, you know, when the Bible talks about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and how they would pray and loud groanings and all this stuff so others would see them. But that's not what God's calling us to do. God's calling us in this scripture to pray in secret so others won't see us, but that we could be heard by God. Amen? Then your Father who sees in secret will reward your prayers in public. If you pray hidden in secret, God will answer you publicly for all to see. And when he does, that's when we take the opportunity, and that's when we boast about God.
Amen.
Look what God has done. We are not bragging to make other people feel shame. We're not bragging to say, oh, look what we got. No, we're saying, look what my God did for me. Amen. And we need to testify that way. You know, when God answers our prayers, we need to testify to others, because that someone might be struggling with the exact same thing, and you saying that might be that push, encourage them in their faith. Amen.
Amen.
A good example of this really quick is when Aaliyah was little, we lived in California for a Bible school, and she got very, very sick, and we didn't know what was going on, and she had a really high fever. And so we went to the hospital, and I was in the hospital for a couple days, and I just remember I prayed Psalm 91 over her the whole time we were there, and I just prayed for God to heal her. They didn't know. They think something was just deformed in her kidneys, and I just remember just in that hospital room just constantly praying for her. Lord, heal her, whatever it is. You created her body to work right, and I would just pray over her, and how many, she does not even have a problem today.
Amen.
And so for me, that praying, that's a great example, praying in secret, praying in that place of need, praying to the Lord, believing, knowing that his word is true, that by Jesus' stripes, we are healed.
Amen.
And she has not had a problem with kidneys or anything since then. So praise the Lord. We're testifying, right? Because that's how we encourage each other in our faith. Amen?
Amen.
So the second point is pray in a solitary place. And that just means pray somewhere alone. So you have your secret place, like maybe at your home that might be a literal closet or a room where nobody enters. So now we're going to talk about a solitary place, which is just somewhere you can go to be alone. Mark 1:35 says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out, speaking about Jesus, and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. So how many of you know you can have an alone place at work? You know, I waited tables for many years, and sometimes I needed to go pray, and there was nobody because, you know, you're in a restaurant. So the bathroom was my solitary place, and I didn't go and make a lot of noise because that's kind of weird. But so I just went, and I just prayed quietly to the Lord. Lord, help me. I need your strength today. God, there's so much stuff going on, but God, I know you have overcome, and you can help me overcome. And in that place, in that solitary place, I began to do even what David did. I began to encourage myself in the Lord so I could go out and work, right? Sometimes we need to do that at work. It's a place where you just go to get away for a minute, like maybe on your lunch break, and you can go sit in your car for a minute. Jesus went away while everybody was sleeping, so even like he was saying, getting up while people maybe in your house are sleeping or when they go to bed at night. That wouldn't work well for me because I would fall asleep like he did in the morning. So make sure it's a time where you know that you can be strengthened by the Lord to pray. Amen. The important thing here, though, is to find that place where you're alone. Because we pray together, and we'll talk about that soon. But, you know, you need that place to pray just alone between you and God. And these are those moments that you can steal away really quickly. And how many of you know today, many of us, it's hard for us to be alone. We cannot get away from people. I mean, we have our cell phone constantly with us. So there's constantly someone texting or calling. And how many of you know, this is something that I'm really trying to work on myself, is like when I'm having a conversation with someone or talking to someone or doing something and my cell phone goes off, I'm trying not to even look at it. You know, because we are so accustomed to go, oh, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Someone's trying to talk to us. Someone's trying to, we're trying to do stuff together. You know, we have a rule, and I break it sometimes. I try not to. At our dining room table, when we eat dinner together, we have meals together, we put our phones away. Why? Because we would constantly be like this, or someone will text us, and we'll pull it out and be like this, and there's no time together. We're not communicating. Mm-hmm. You've got to put those things away. We just finished talking about communicating with the Lord. You've got to put some things away to be able to communicate with the Lord.
Amen.
You know, your cell phone will not get you into heaven. I'm just making that announcement right now. But our relation, our being, knowing Jesus Christ, accepting him as our Savior, this
Amen.
Will not go into eternity with us.
Amen.
Those are the things that we can take into eternity with us. This
Amen.
Will not go into eternity with us.
Amen.
I just told you, I've challenged to put those things away, and I'm just being real for a moment. I'm just as guilty. I just told you, I've challenged myself that when it goes off and I'm with other people, I try my absolute hardest not to look at it. Because if it wasn't important, they would call and call and call, right? If it's not important, if it's just a text or someone calls me once, it's voicemail, I can get it later. You know, what did we used to do when we have no phones? You had a landline. Someone called, they left a message, you'd get it when you get home. We need to make sure that our time is consumed with the Lord.
Amen.
And not consumed with things that do not last forever. Amen?
Amen.
So I just wanted to throw that out there really quick. So that's my final point, is C, we need to pray with others. Pray together. In Matthew 18, 19 through 20, says, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." This is called the prayer of agreement. When we're all coming together as a group, united together, praying, agreeing together for God to do things. That's why it's so important to pray with your spouse. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's just 5 minutes, I would encourage you, if you're married, please pray more than 5 minutes. Because, you know, we talked about communication, and I'm telling you, your relationship with your husband will go to a whole new level when you begin to pray together.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, how does that happen? I want to challenge you to try it. 5 minutes, if you can only start off with 5 minutes and then go from there. But I'm telling you, your relationship with your husband will go stronger. Why? Because we just read, there is more power when we are together than we are alone. When we begin to come together and pray together in agreement, man, you know, the Bible says one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. Imagine
Amen.
That. When we come together, the power that comes behind our prayers. And that's why prayer meetings are so important as well. When we come together as a corporate body and pray together, you know, we sometimes we have a first Sunday prayer at our house. I want to encourage you to come out to that. It's an amazing time. God really shows up, but why? Because there's something about when people of God come together and begin to call on his name, things begin to happen. Amen?
Amen. Amen. So we're probably gonna do a part two to this next week. That what I just felt like as she was finishing that up, I just felt like to share this and that one verse that we were looking at right here is Matthew 18:19-20. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And that prayer with others, I think, is such an important thing. And many times we come to church, and what people want is they want the pastor to pray for them because the pastor's got some special prayer power that nobody else has, right? And I just want to tell you that that's not true, that the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that lives in pastors is the same Holy Spirit that lives in you, right? And so what I want to encourage us today is that we can understand is that the Bible is very clear. It says that when we gather together, that's why if the devil can stop husbands and wives from praying together, then he can wreak all kinds of havoc in their home. And I'm just telling you, if you can pray with your husband or wife, just like my wife says, one of the things that helps us so many times, even not to have arguments or things like that, is that we pray for each other. And when we sit down, when I start blessing my wife and praying for her, it's hard for her to be mad at me. Ask her. See, look. It's hard for her to be mad at me when I'm actually praying for her and I'm blessing her and I'm calling things out of her and I'm declaring over her what God has said. Even with your kids, it's hard for them to be mad at you when you pray for them and you really pray for them. And I'm not talking about, you know, those prayers like, God, help this kid act right and help this kid stop being a dummy and, you know, things like that, like that we would be tempted to pray. But when we really begin to speak life over them and we begin to speak out things over their life, I'm just telling you, you have power in your mouth when you come together with other believers to really pray. And we're going to talk about a prayer blessing later on in this series, but this is what I feel like, and we didn't plan this, but I'm just telling you, this is what I feel like. Even to close today, I would like for us, if it's all right with you, to maybe get into some small groups, and if you want to do that with your family or you want to do that with your friends, and just take a moment and pray for each other. And just take a quick moment and just say, just pray one thing for that person. You don't have to ask for prayer requests or anything like that, but you can just say, listen, I want to pray for you today, and just pray and ask God to touch that person and ask God to bless that person. Would it be all right if we do that today? Would that freak anybody out? I hope not. And so what we want to do is if we can go ahead and just play a little bit of music. And what I'd like to do is if you want to just take a real quick minute, we're not going to pray for a long time, but if you want to just get together with somebody and if you want to do that with your family and just pray one for another, and we'll take like 2 or 3 minutes to do that, all right? And then we're going to come back together and then we're going to finish out the service like that, amen? So why don't we go ahead and...